I've heard that the best amount to aim to grow by week after week is 4%.
Your permission
period.
Is led to raise your standards.
4% might not seem like a lot, but over
really
time,
hit the jackpot by most of the world's standards, even though most of you think it's still not enough. What's going to make things magnificent on your terms, not somebody else's terms?
But if you're on an awakening journey and you have recognized that those are there, you have taken the most crucial step to get out of that, which is to become aware that it's actually happening.
This is your last chance.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
And welcome to the Joygasmic Life Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. I'm so glad that you found your way here and you're in for a treat, because here we are sharing the top tips, hacks, and tools that our community of conscious women mothers have found to really work to make a difference in how they parent and how they can keep their calm and cool even when their kids are driving them crazy. Each week, I interview guests who are bulletproof moms, badass women running their own businesses on the leading edge of consciousness, who are here to support people in getting the skills, knowledge, and tools they need to put into practice what it is to walk their talk and be conscious, spiritual women in the world. Our topics range from optimal nutrition to mindset hacks to tantra and everything in between. If there's a topic or an expert you'd like to see interviewed, drop me a line on my Facebook page, and I'm happy to see if we can arrange that. Remember, if you love the podcast, there's so much more on our website, bulletproofmoms.com, and we would so appreciate that you subscribe, share our podcast with your friends, and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you're viewing this, as it helps us reach more people. Remember, if we talk too slow, you can always speed us up. I know I love to do that. And without further ado, here is our next guest.
Hi, guys. I'm feeling a little bit silly right now, and totally contrast to that. I want to talk about doctors and shame and mental health and asking for help and asking for help sooner. And this has come up really a lot in the last month, and I wanted to speak about it. You know, as you guys know, I've been more open about my journey and some of the darker... Hey, Rylan. Some of the like darker areas of my world, my mental health world recently, and it's been pretty scary. And at the same time, at this point in my life, hi Francis, hi Steve, hi Alexander. At this point in my life, it's actually less scary than it's ever been to talk about it. And I wanted to talk a little bit about why it was scary to talk about, and where that shame comes from, and why that shame's there in the first place, and how the existing system like made it worse by being the way it is. So I guess at the core of it is this experience of needing to be able to do everything on my own. I was, you know, like you guys probably, raised in a culture where the individual striving for success, the individual creating their like highest, you know, in my class, there was one top student. There weren't 5 top students working together. There was one top student. And that creates a mentality of doing it on my own. Hi, Millie. Doing it, you know, to beat everybody else, doing it to be the best, right? And so then, you know, fast forward a couple years and I'm overwhelmed, totally overwhelmed and struggling in life. And for the first time, you know, I did well through school, all that, blah, blah, blah. But for the first time in my life, I'm not doing well, which means that I'm down at the bottom of the class at this point. And I have no concept of how to deal with that. I have no concept of that people might want to help, because it's always been this race for the top. And no concept that, hi Mohammed, cool to see you, man. We met in Morocco. It was great. Stayed at his hostel. He's a great guy. Yeah, super fun. That's nice to see your face here. Yeah, so that strive for the top, you know, to be the best was a really huge part of my psyche at that point. And when I finally found myself not being the best, I just wanted to hide. I just wanted to hide, just wanted to like be small, like hope nobody could see me. And at the same time had this bursting urge within me to share and to talk and to be seen and, you know, to want to regain that top of the class piece. And for a couple of years, what that looked like, what that related to was, you know, sharing Joygasm, sharing videos, quotes, etc. online, sharing love letters and being really scared in it. Like being like, okay, my highest self says go this way and share, and my scared self like shut the fuck up and like figure it out, you know? And it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago that I started doing reading about bipolar and seasonal depression and mania and depression and all of that stuff. And I realized that like I was very classic, that I was a very classic case of not only like the you know, the alcoholic codependent thing from the relationship that I had, but also very classic, like manic depressive. And at that point I was like, man, like it might be helpful to get help. And then I thought about my options as a low income single mom traveling. Okay. So my options are return to Canada and like dig in and get the help that I need. Stay the winter. I strong fear that the winter's gonna kill me. Okay? Like still facing that on a daily. Not so much, but like it's still under there. And that I might get sucked into the system because of what I'd heard and what I'd known and what I'd experienced of the medical system at that point was that the medical system was designed to prescribe me. And that had been my experience of doctors, that had been my experience, you know, like ear infections, colds, whatever it is, like, I'll talk to you for 2.5 minutes, here's your prescription, go get some antibiotics. And once I learned that antibiotics, like, wipe and kill, like, every single, like, bacterial culture that's inside your body, like, regardless of whether it's good for you or bad for you, I was like, clearly there's something wrong here. Like, clearly there's something that's not quite, like, this is not a solution that makes sense to me. Hey, Noah. And so the experience of, like, trusting that was, like, gone. Like, bloop, why would there be trust there? Like, why would there be trust in a space where I know that the solution that's being given is going to damage my body by my criteria, right? And knowing also, you know, within myself on a personal level, before I ever heard it verbalized in words that made sense, that the quality of the relationship between the practitioner and the patient is one of the key factors in success. And that I had never felt that from a doctor before. I'd never felt that like a doctor actually cared about me. I was always like, you know, the next thing on a rototill, like, let's see how many we can pump through and make you wait and be uncomfortable while you wait for it. So there wasn't a lot of respect for that system. The other option was sort of holistic medicine, and alternative therapies and coaches and other people. And that was, interesting to me, exciting. Like I definitely was like playing around, but at the same time I was like, my income was going towards traveling and there wasn't usually a lot of extra. And so wasn't usually a lot of extra. There was never extra. I just trying not to be vulnerable when I said it the first time. Yeah, it was always, anyway. And so, you know, to be able to spend the $8,000 or $9,000 or $5,000 or whatever it is, like the $800 or $900 or whatever it is for like a group and a series with somebody to really do the work that it would take to heal was inaccessible to me because it's not included in the medical spectrum. It's not included in the, you know, the things that are covered by Alberta Healthcare. And so it would have been something that I would have had to figure out how to pay for by myself. And I did a fair chunk of that by doing work exchanges, by, you know, doing little bits here and there, and by studying a lot of free programs, a lot of like, you know, 3-day weekends that people offer for free, and like taking things and really internalizing them, really, really working the things that I had accessible, doing a lot of reading, So that was like one option. And I found a lot of support and I found a lot of help in that. And I definitely found people who cared and who were willing to listen within that realm. Which was really valuable for me, but something in between, something that like actually served, something that was actually accessible to me at a price point, something that was actually, you know, while I felt like I was able to value the service of the people, a relationship with somebody that I actually trusted, like, wasn't there. And it was really fascinating because I know I'm not the only one who's had this, you know. Every once in a while I'd go on and I'd be like, can somebody please recommend a doctor that they trust that could help with, blah. Or like, we're having skin issues, can somebody please offer something? And, you know, the people around me would give like hundreds of different recommendations, most of them naturopaths, most of them like family doctors that were outside of the spectrum of like normal Western medical care, because that's who we are. That's what like this community understands. And so it's really beautiful to have that. And at the same time, it still remains inaccessible in lots of ways. And as a result, it wasn't until I was able to look at myself and be like, okay, I think I've done pretty much everything that I've learned or knew how to learn to get myself to where I'm at. And I'm pretty stable and pretty good on a regular basis. Okay, now I can go ask the medical system for help. Now that's really interesting. Like now I can ask them, now that I'm like better, I mean better, like it's an ongoing journey, don't get me wrong. But like now that I'm better, I can go ask for help because now I'm no longer at a prescribable phase. Now I'm no longer like, now I have enough centeredness in myself and enough understanding in myself to be able to like approach that system and be like, hey, maybe you guys have some other things that I haven't thought of. Maybe, you know, I have done this, 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 this to get where I am. Like, have anything else? Because I would like to be, you know, like happy, stable, and good on a regular basis without these crash outs. And I'd also like to not get so high that I think I'm gonna like take over the world and be like all, you know, wild and crazy that way, even though, you know, our generation is here to like save the world. That's kind of a thing. On a side note, one of my really interesting readings about the difference between like hypomania and mania, hypomania being like a high functioning, in general, like good experience of life, lots of energy, less sleep, less need for sleep, less need for food, like just like hypomanic people in general do really well in the world. Manic people, on the other hand, like stop sleeping, stop being able to see themselves and be self-aware of themselves and get into the sort of delusions of grandeur piece. But as I was doing some reading, it was really interesting because delusion, I got caught on this delusion. I was like, okay, if I spoke everything I actually thought to like a normal world doctor, they would literally look at me and be like, you're crazy, let's put you in a room. And that's part of why it took so long for me to be able to speak to like doctors. Because I needed to be able to like be grounded in it, right? But so the interesting thing about delusion is that delusion is defined as anything that's like wild and out of perspective with the normal reality that like isn't part of what I would call consensus reality. But if it's culturally supported, it's no longer considered a delusion. And I'm like, that's really interesting in the context of like a culture of, you know, millennial indigo light workers who do believe that we're all here to save the planet and, you know, break these systems down and make new systems. So then that delusional thought becomes not as delusional because it's personally supported, because it's culturally supported, right? That was really fascinating for me and like also really helpful in the discovery of being like, okay, like, even based on these definitions, I might not be crazy. Like, that's cool. Because I walked around for a lot of years being like, I'm crazy. Like, the normal world thinks I'm crazy, and that's not okay. And I gotta make sure that I hide that, and I gotta make sure that nobody sees that, and I gotta make sure that, you know, I'm normal enough on the outside so that people don't take my kid away. And that's held me back in lots of ways from creating friendships with people that like really are weird like I am, from stepping forward and being really strong and really powerful in my voice and be like, hey, like orgasmic meditation, hands-free, is totally an easily accessible experience. Let me show you in 10 minutes. Like, it's hard to say that when you're like, people are gonna think that I'm crazy because I twitch on the floor. Like, it's, you know,
I can't believe I just said that on live with a bunch of people here. That's okay.
Right. So you can see how the shame and the, like, internalization of, like, not okayness is, like, still active in my system in that little tiny piece that we just did. Yeah. And it's just so... Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's just been so... It's been so challenging. It's been so challenging, and it's true, like, especially, like, I talk to lots of single moms, and we're all really struggling. And I talk to lots of people, and they're also all really struggling, and it's because we're living inside of a culture that doesn't support people to be who they are, and we're living in a culture that doesn't support us being, like, connected, right? It's like my little white picket house, your little white picket house, your little white picket house, you know, little boxes, all separate. And what we really need is to come together. What we really need is to connect on a like a touching level, and, like, let the body normalize and be kind to itself, right? And to do things together, to not be like, I'm going to do this all on my own, or I'm going to do this all on my own, like, separately from, like, six other people who are also really excited about doing the same thing because of the trauma that we've had. So in the processing of that trauma, we're able to, like, then move closer to each other. But also, when we move closer to each other, that trauma, you know, if it's done in a loving container full of people like me and you guys and the people who show up to the potlucks and, like, our community at large who understand, you know, because of the intensity of their personal trauma and the work that they've done, they understand how to deal with that. Like, if you go try and make these kind of changes and move into this kind of community within a group of, like, let's say, like, average, like, downtowning Calgary people who, like, have never experienced any of this, it's going to be challenging, painful, difficult, possibly not possible. But if you're doing it within the context of, you know, a group of people, like the ones that are even watching here, like, we have the capacity to hold each other. We have the capacity to be like, there's your challenge. I see it. I'm gonna love you through this. Versus, like, you're fucking weird. Get the fuck away from me. Right? Like, really different experiences. And so then when we start to talk about it, that's when the experience really changes. And that's when it really begins to heal. And the thing that has been the most healing on this journey for me is when I faced that fear and got brave and, you know, posted those pieces of writing that I've written. And there's, like, hundreds more that I've written that I just haven't found the courage to share yet. And sort of pushed myself to, like, be vulnerable in front of people, and the outpouring of, like, me too, and I totally struggle with that, and Elena, it's okay, we're all struggling with that. Like, you know, I see one of my roles as just being this, like, truth teller, and, like, sharing the stories and sharing the experiences and letting people know, like, hey, this is happening. You know, we're all trying to seem like we're okay and above board and aiming for that number one when a lot of people are really struggling inside, underneath, like, in different ways. And when we can start to say, hey, I'm struggling, and that doesn't make me a total reject. It just makes me a human being doing my best struggling, because, you know, the energy is really intense in the world, and it's a really crazy fucked up world out there right now in lots of ways, and the people around me don't necessarily understand me, and that makes me feel isolated. Like, when we can acknowledge all of those things and start to come into a place of co-support, like, that's where the real magic happens. And it's been really beautiful to see that be happening through the potlucks that we're doing here in Calgary, and through, you know, people sharing their stories in relationship. And one of the reasons that the doctor piece came up is because there is a doctor friend of mine. I have a friend who's a doctor. That's, like, the weirdest thing ever in the history of my mentality and my concept. But it's like, he's a doctor, but he actually really cares. It's like it took me a while to wrap my head around that was even something that was possible. Like, that somebody who could be a healthcare provider, not in the extreme, you know, energy healing, like, side of the spectrum, but, like, on the normal doctor side of the spectrum, And sorry for any of the like judgments and assumptions that worked their way into that statement, but like that like somebody actually cares about the quality of the time with the patient and the experience and shares a vision for like something different like we do. And it just blew my mind. And so there's, you know, he and I are working on some stuff this week, to help move that forward in Alberta. And I really appreciate your guys' support if, as you see that stuff, and we're just sort of working on it now, but it's one of the reasons why it came up as a topic this week. And also that I've been wanting to share more about the journey and the shame and the experience of being scared to talk about not being okay, because that would maybe make me be socially rejected. And I know I'm not the only one who deals with this fears, and I know that I'm not the only one who's struggling. So, yeah, that's about all I got right now. If anybody wants to ask a question or jump on, you're totally welcome to do that. I'm just going to read through the comments and maybe make some silly faces while I do. And then, yeah. So, Francis, you're welcome for opening up. We're still there? Yeah. Charles, people like me are the main reason. People like you are the main reason I'm still alive. Yeah. People like me who were me before I was me are the main reason I'm still alive, for sure. D says hi, Victor says hi. Oh, Mohammed says hi, greetings from Morocco. Awesome. I love you too, Siobhan. Yeah. We all wear masks, and the time comes we cannot remove them without removing our own skin. That makes it super scary. I love saving the world. Yeah. Yeah, permaculture for this side of the white picket fence. Aw, thanks, Rylan. Super happy. It's hard to be gifted and having a disability. People don't know what box to put me in. Yeah, I believe you, Charles. I believe you. I believe you. Amen. Thanks. Thanks for being brave and supporting others and being brave, too. You're welcome, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oops, I think I just flipped the camera around. Okay, technical difficulties. Yeah, I super appreciate you guys. I super appreciate all the feedback and the love, and for you guys showing up and listening. And, you know, that feedback loop is part of what gives me the courage to keep sharing. So I'm super grateful for that. And, well, lots of love. Lots and lots of love. And hope to see you at an upcoming event soon. And again, on the Facebook. And that's all I got for today. Remember, stay gigasmic. Love you guys. Bye. Yeah. You got me going. Oh, thank you. Love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
I do this in the past, and it's been unsuccessful, or I've given up, and I felt like I could never change. I can completely change.
Follow your breath, and you contract those intrinsic muscles. As you follow your breath, and you bring that breath all the way up to that pineal gland, and you hold your breath.
One of the most valuable concepts that I personally learned is that in order to reach the level of success, self-confidence, and prosperity that you want, you have to brainwash. Yes, brainwash yourself. See, either way it goes, you're going to be brainwashed. But the question is, who's doing the brainwashing?
Hey guys, thank you so much for being on that journey with me. It's been a work of love to create such a journey. And I invite you to come and be part of the tribe, come be part of the experience, and get your full access pass so that you can see all of the things that are being created, experience all of the things that are being created. This is literally just a demo and just a toe in the ice of what is available in terms of audio and content that is highly programmable into your subconscious in your highest, highest possibility. And so I thoroughly encourage you, if you are into personal development, if you watch this thing all the way to the end, there's clearly something here for you. And I want to have you as part of the tribe. So I love you. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. And I'll see you on the other side in the tribe.
Sugar addiction and addiction in general, and she filled me with this beautiful knowledge and power that I always knew was inside me, but just needed, I think, a little bit of coaxing to come out. I can actually tell that there's been a big shift, and it's not just superficial. It's on a fundamental level. My thought processes are different, and that's such a beautiful gift, because I've been working really hard to get rid of this sugar addiction, as I'm sure a lot of people are. And you know, I lost a ton of weight, and then I hit that plateau, and there's that one thing that's super hard to beat. And thanks to Elena, I think I definitely have it. This time I'll beat the addiction to sugar.
I'm on a big mission to end family trauma in this generation, and so I'm working with conscious moms to create a powerful change where we can become bulletproof, where we have no triggers, where our children cannot touch us, no matter what they throw at us, so that we can be the kind of moms that we needed and the kind of moms that we want to be for this new generation, so that we can end rape, we can end trauma, we can end neglect, we can end sexual shame, we can end consumerism, we can end screen addiction, we can end all of these things by how we choose to parent and how we show up in the world. So I invite you to be here on this journey with me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on the other side. So get your name and email in that box and join me on this journey. It's going to be an incredible 7 days where you are guided every day to understand how to create better habits, how to not give up, and how to implement the 60-second hack to rewire your brain so that you know that no matter what's happening, you'll come back to a loving place fast. Love you. I'll see you on the other side.
Moment and your future, but also your perceptions of your past, so that you look at your past and your life and you already see all of the places where you have integrated this change and had been previously unaware of it. Thank you so much for being here today with me, and you've done great work today, not only for yourself but for our collective consciousness. I'll see you here tomorrow. Have a beautiful day.